Amidat. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
This is a great Sunday, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm so excited. Last week was such a glorious week. You're talking about a week of all kinds of things, and I hope that those of you who we talk during the week are watching on Channel 15, Troy Johnson, I hope you're watching today. Yes, and we had such a wonderful time last week, our visit. I thank God for him and for the opportunity to minister to people. Would you believe I met a young lady, 20 years old, I invited her to come today, I'm looking for her, who said she'd never been to church in her life.
Wow.
Blew me away. I took a video back to Blockbusters, and she was there working, and I asked her to, you know, help me to pick a good movie. I don't want anything steamy, and I don't want anything violent. I just want something sweet. And we started to talk, and she said, well, here's one that was called Sin. I said, oh, I preach about that all the time, you know. And so we got in the conversation. She said, you know, I told her I was a pastor, and she said, I've always wanted to go to church, but I've never been. I said, you've never been to church at all? She said, no. I said, how old are you? She says, 20? Where do you live? I'm saying, you know, I was just in shock, but such a sweet young lady. I hope she makes it today. If not, I'm going to go back there this week and visit her and give her a map on how to get here. I figured if she'd come here, that would be less threatening than maybe to go to a mainstream church at first. You know, this would be intimate. And so you pray that I told her to bring her mom too. So I want to meet her mom. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's just been an awesome, awesome thing. Anyway, those of you who are in your rooms, those of who are in hospice, we particularly want you to know that our prayers and our hearts are with you and the families and every unit in this hospital. And those of you who are here in the chapel, we welcome you as well. We begin our service. And welcome back, Sylvia.
Yeah.
We're glad to have you back. Yes. Yes, and good to see Travis and his mom, Marina. I know this is her last Sunday, and I'm sad about that. I know she's got to go home, but I'll take over in her spot when she leaves. Anyway, let's begin our services as we always do with our opening sentences. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
May we pray our unison prayer together. Let us pray. O Lord, we ask you to let your continual mercy be upon us. And defend your church, because it cannot continue in safety without your protection. Preserve it evermore by your goodness and grace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. We begin our singing this morning with one of the great songs. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. The words are found on your insert on the white sheet inside your bulletin.
The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ. Soon the night of weeping. and the tumult of her war. She waits the consummation of peace forevermore, till with a vision glorious her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious shall be the church at rest.
What a great song that is. And we know that Jesus has a steadfast love for us, those of us who love him, those of us who have accepted his finished work. His love never changes. Good all the way from earth to glory. Isn't that good news? So we sing, great is thy faithfulness at the end. The steadfast love of the Lord is faithful. I'm so glad about that. There are many changing things in the world, so it's good to know that his love never changes. The steadfast love of the Lord never changes. His mercies never again. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. And due to the fact that God's love is steadfast and unchanging, never ceasing, we know that God will make a way where there seems to be no way. We know we've been told that things couldn't happen, haven't we? Things would never happen. We know that God can make a way where there is no way, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if you believe that, then you can sing this song with conviction as we prepare our hearts to go before the Lord with thanksgiving for the things he's already done for us, and ask him for the things that we yet need him to do for us. I still need him to do things for me. How about you? I hold up both hands to that. We all still need him to do things for us. And he said, come to me, cast all of your cares on me. I don't care how big or small they are, whatever they are. He says, bring them to me. Give them to me. I'll bear it because I care for you more than you could ever dream or know. So let's sing this song as it prepares our heart to go before the Lord with our thanksgiving and with our requests.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way.
Now, did you feel that in your heart, or do you need to sing one more time to get it down into your spirits? One more time to really get it down there? Okay, let's do it one more time. Okay.
God will make a way.
This affirmation.
Where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way. With love.
as Sylvia continues to play that softly. If you want to call out names or concerns that we want to take before the Lord right now, now is the time. Any names? Any requests?
When I leave, I would just wish that Jesus would hold Travis up and make him well and comfort him.
Yes. And my prayer is for you as you go home and leave your son here. May you be confident that God is going to take care of him.
I ask for God's protection and care to be around my nephew, Robert Muncie, who's in Afghanistan.
Okay.
And for my family, my children and grandchildren, and the new great-grandchild that's coming.
Good.
Surprise.
Any other kids?
Our cousin was killed in Afghanistan a couple weeks ago.
Oh.
So he leaves a wife and four children.
Oh, God. Yes. Yeah. For the family, yes.
For my mom, Mildred, who I just found out a week ago that she had two herniated discs, and she's on bed rest again, and I think she's getting a little better. I talked to her yesterday, she's like, I have a little relief.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for your prayers.
I've been praying for her, yeah.
For my son, Charlie.
Okay. Any others? Okay. For Frank and Jane and their family?
My wife, Lou.
Lou.
He's got a nervous condition.
Okay. All right. And for all of the troops that are still in harm's way in Iraq and Afghanistan, for all the troops everywhere, for all veterans everywhere, and I pray for the families because it's not just the troops, it's the whole family that's involved, a whole unit. And I pray for families that are dealing with those who have been over there already and who've come back hurt in so many ways, physically and mentally and psychologically in a lot of ways, emotionally. Pray for the families that are trying to build a new life under conditions they never dreamed they'd have to deal with. And there's no how-to book on this, save of the good word of God that you can rest on, to know that God can make a way out of no way, and He can make order out of chaos if you just believe it and allow him to. And that's why we go to him. Let's look to the Lord in prayer today. As Sylvia plays softly. Lord, we come to you now, as humble as we know how. We know that you have said that you would answer prayer if we just ask. We ask every Sunday, and some of us pray all day, every day. I know I do. And Lord, you've answered so many prayers. We've got more for you to answer. I know that you're here in our midst this morning to bless the broken, to heal the hurting, to be whatever it is we need you to be for us, because we can't do it ourselves. We confess that this morning. And while we're confessing, we confess that we know that we have no worthiness of our own. We're imperfect people, but we're yours. So we ask you to forgive us for the things that we've said and done that have fallen short of your glory. Also, there have been things that we should have done that we did not do. We ask forgiveness for that as well. And in this moment of prayer, in this moment of lifting up our hearts to your great heart, make us new, refresh us and revive us, draw us closer to your heart. And even in this service, Lord, you may do something for us that will make our lives so much better off. And then, Lord, we pray for those names that have been lifted up, those who have lost loved ones in Afghanistan and Iraq. Oh, we pray especially for the Fletcher family, the loss, and for Judith's family. We don't know what to say other than, Lord, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. We know that you've said your grace is sufficient, and we know that you give and give and give again more grace. We thank you for that. Give these families the grace to get through this heartbreaking situation. We pray, oh God, for a nation that's in trouble. Not just our nation, but even the nation that's being war-torn, Iraq and Afghanistan. All people on the planet you made, Lord. We ask you somehow, give answers where answers are needed. Oh God, we pray that you would somehow, those who are in decision-making positions, give them the wisdom to make decisions that would get our troops home, that would end this senseless war, and that would restore, Lord, Only you can do that. We put it in your hands afresh. And I know that many are praying the same prayer, Lord. We know that you're not deaf. We know that you hear. We trust your timing and we trust your grace, oh God, to take care of us in the meantime. Oh God, we pray for the sick in this place, those in spinal cord injury. We pray for Troy. I lift him up especially this morning. Visit him right now in his room. Let him know how much you love him. And let him know that if he totally depends on you and trusts you, all will be well. Even in the midst of whatever's going on, you will grant him favor if he only trusts you. Then, Lord, I pray for Travis. I pray for his complete healing, total healing, that you will use him in a mighty way in your service. I pray for his mom as she travels back home, leaving her son. I know that's going to be tough, but I know that you'll give her the strength to bear it and give her the confidence to know that you're the all-seeing eye and you can do what no man can do. And you're faithful. Help her to rest in that as she goes. And then, Lord, I pray for Dell as he prepares for a little surgery, that you would oversee it, let everything turn out just fine, and breathe healing on his body as well. And Lord, those people, the Hopkins family, everybody that was mentioned, I may not be able to recall every name, but I know. I know I remember Charlie. His dad says he wants you to touch his body, touch his mind, touch his spirit, Lord, with a healing touch. We're all needy people, Lord. So we ask that you would bless us all with what we stand in need of. Glorify yourself now in this service. I pray for Judith that she brings the word today. Give her strength to lift up the name of Jesus. And now, Lord, we pray the prayer together that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our responsive reading is on the front side of your insert. It's from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'll read the fine print and you read the bold print, and we'll do the last one together. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone.
Make sure that all must try to be kind to each other and to everyone else.
Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Do not put the Spirit of fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything.
Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. The word of the Lord, for which we are most grateful. I'm going to do a special song before Judith comes up to expound on the word this morning. I ask the Lord, she's preaching about prayer today. I ask the Lord to comfort me when things weren't going my way. He said to me, I will comfort you and lift your cares away. I ask the Lord to walk with me when darkness was all that I knew. He said to me, Never be afraid, for I will see you through. I didn't ask for riches. He gave me wealth untold. Oh, the moon, the stars, the sun, the sky, and he gave Vandegrift is going to bring our message this morning.
Oh my goodness, a microphone too? Good morning. It's wonderful to see all your faces. You know, I am a living example of God making a way where there was no way. I just graduated from the Pacific School of Religion with a Master's of Divinity, and I'm going to be ordained in about a year. So, as you look at me, you can see I've got gray hair and I'm getting on the older side. But God made that way. And if he can do it for someone like me, he can do it for you. But let's go to our text this morning. It's Matthew 7 through 12. And if you remember, the Lord's Prayer was just given to us in Matthew just prior to this. And we said that earlier. For everyone who asks and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know not how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to you, to those who ask of him? So in everything, do to others what would you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. That's our text this morning. When I read this passage most of my life, I thought, I don't think it's that simple. It's just not that easy. You know, why would God give me if I asked? So I tried to do what the scripture said. And I asked and I sought and I knocked and it really didn't work that fast or that well. Why weren't my prayers working? What am I doing wrong? What kind of prayers am I praying? As I investigated the questions about prayer, I discovered there were many types of prayers. Prayers of thanksgiving. Thanks, God. Prayers of gratitude. Oh, I have a roof over my head and clothes on my back and shoes and clothes to wear. The prayers of intercession. Oh, God, help this my friend who's struggling with life. Heal my other friend who's been injured and hurt. I also found out that my prayers were those of a child asking Santa Claus to give her constant gifts. God's not Santa Claus, and God does not always answer, oh God, I wish I had a new car.
You know, that's the kind of prayer I'm talking about. As Harry Emerson Fosdick, who was very, very focused on prayer, says in his introduction to the book of prayers, prayer is not a magic way of getting things without fulfilling conditions of getting them. Prayer is not turning to God, turning God into a messenger boy for us. Prayer is not an emergency measure. Get me out of this, God, and I will. Some of us have said that. I know I have. Prayer is not an escape from life. Prayer is a daily dialogue, a talk with God that establishes his presence with us. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm talking to God in my head all day long. And sometimes I forget completely when I get caught up in the world around me and the struggles that are there. It is this dialogue that results in faith rather than fear, strength rather than anxiety, confidence rather than hesitation, inward power out of outward lack of power, belief rather than doubt, seeking guidance when we don't know what to do, and resources when we need. So in order to know that I have to do, all I have to do is ask in order to receive. And it will be given, the scripture says, it will be given. Seek and I will find. Knock and the door will be opened. Well, as I read another scripture about prayer, I learned that it says we pray believing that we already have what we pray for. How do you do that? That was my question. How do you do that? It's been a question for a long time, because I would say prayers and they'd be, you know, I wasn't sure that God would answer. So I tried again believing, and it didn't work very well. There was a big doubt, a big doubt in the middle of my prayers. And in my mind, I feared that God would not hear my prayer. And guess what happened next? I think you already know. My prayer wasn't answered. And it wasn't answered because I doubted. I didn't believe that it would be heard. It was what I thought in my mind, what was in here. My belief was answered, actually. It was a negative belief that God wouldn't answer me. I got what I prayed for, but it wasn't what I wanted. Maybe that means we have to be careful in how we think about our prayer before we give it or ask it. It was years later than I learned about belief. I was taking a personal development training course. The instructor was a 10th degree ninjutsu master. And he was teaching us about our bodies and our minds and our spirits. And we were learning to break boards. Now, I'd never broken a board in my life, and I'd never taken martial arts. But I broke the first board because I did what he told me to do. I broke it with this hand right here. And I was surprised that it broke. You know, I focused on it, and then I went. I did what he said. He said, make a sound that comes from deep inside you. And there it broke. It surprised me. And then we were given a second board to break, and this one, we had to look from here. The board was placed between two square bricks, and we were kneeling as we did this, each one of us in this training. And we put our arm out like this. And he said, when you know that the board is not there, here in your mind, drop your arm. And I must have sat there for 5 minutes trying to see no board in between those bricks, here in my mind, never mind what was out here. Well, finally, after about 5 minutes, I dropped my arm, and guess what happened? The board broke. It surprised me. I was so surprised, I went, all right, and I hit my thighs like this, and I ended up with a bruise this big on this thigh from that belief. And that's when I learned that we must be very clear when we make our prayers. They must be full, without a doubt, belief. No gray, very clear. Very, very clear. If it can happen for me with no training at all, it can certainly happen for you. And I've never forgotten that. I've never forgotten that lesson. You know what happened 2 months later? To add to that training, I was given the same exercise to do again. And you know what? I couldn't get it clear in my mind. It was all gray. And I'd get a little bit, but not all of it. And I dropped my hand. There it was. I was kneeling. I dropped it. And ouch! I didn't break the board. That just emphasized to me that I had to be very clear in how I ask, and that I ask with my whole heart and my whole mind, clear here and clear here. You know, I've asked many prayers and gotten exactly what I asked for and said, this isn't what I want. And guess what? It was what I said. It wasn't what I want. So I want to leave you with these words. Ask and you shall receive. Seek daily God in your heart, in your mind, in your prayers. Knock and God will open doors for you and will make a way where there is no way. Bless you all today and thank you for listening.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that wonderful
visual
that you gave us of being in sync, being in harmony, body, mind, and spirit. Jesus was in harmony. That's what made Jesus so fabulous and so wondrous. When he walked the earth, he came to show us the way. He was in harmony, mind, body, and spirit. That's why things work so well for him. He went all the way to the cross and paid the price, the ultimate price for us. Even for those who he knew didn't even love him. For those, the very ones that were nailing him to the cross, he died for them too, if they would accept his finished work. When he got ready to leave after he had done his mission, he had completed his mission, he had tabernacled with us for 33 years, and the last 3 years of his life, he spent doing miracles, raising the dead, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, unstopping deaf ears, and ultimately to the cross, was buried, got up, with all power and heaven, hell, and the grave in his hands. He said there was just two things he wanted us to do in remembrance of him. He knew how forgetful we are as people. He's been gone over 2,000 years, and it seems like, well, you know, is he coming or isn't he? He is coming back again, because he said he was. But he said until he comes back, just to refresh our memories, to remember what he did. He wanted us to be baptized, and he wanted us to remember him in communion. To remember his blood that was shed in his body that was broken for us. And in obedience to the great head of the church today, we are going to celebrate communion. We will do the intinction method. And as I come to you, you will dip your bread into the cup. All right? As Sylvia plays White as Snow. It was on the night in which Jesus was betrayed that he was sitting around the table with the 12. And as he did many times, Jesus loved to eat with people. But this was a different kind of a night. This night he was preparing them for what he was about to do. He was on his way to the cross and he knew it. But he knew that he had to be betrayed first. And he sat around the table with the 12. And as he sat there, he blessed bread. And he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat. In remembrance of me." And likewise, he took the cup. He said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you, for the remission of sins. Take it and drink it in remembrance of me." Holy God, I pray that you would touch these physical elements, the bread and the cup. May they represent your body and your blood. May we take them with a good conscience, Lord, in obedience to what you told us to do, that we might remember the great sacrifice you paid, that we might have so great a salvation. Amen.
the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ broken for you. When they had sang a hymn, they marched out into the Mount of Olives. Let us sing Nothing But the Blood. The words are on your insert. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood.
and now unto him who is able to do far more than we could ever dream or imagine, more than we could ever even think to ask for. Unto him be all power, majesty, and dominion, and may God make his face to smile and shine on each one of us and grant us his matchless peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, and everyone says together, Amen. God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful week.